You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
Two years ago, we were in Baltimore working with the Church of God denomination. And we were out on the streets of Baltimore, and the pastor and myself were walking the streets, and I felt very strongly from the Lord to go into this bar. It was called O'Connor's Bar, and it's an Irish bar, but this community used to be a white community, and now it's an African-American, Puerto Rican community, and a lot of Baltimore used to be Irish. Now a lot of the white community have moved out into the counties, and a lot of the African-American community are within the city limits, and God is at move in those communities. There is a hunger for God. When I went into this Irish bar, most of the people in there were not white at all. They were African American or Hispanic. And I asked the bartender if I could have a couple of minutes to preach the gospel to all those that were in the bar.
Awesome.
And he thought it was great. So he turned down the music. He laughed and said to everyone, "Hey, we got an Irish preacher here that wants to preach in the bar." And I preached the gospel and I opened up and said, "Jesus can give you a drink and you'll never thirst again."
That's right.
Jesus can give you a drink, and he bought you a drink with his own blood. And if you drink of him, you'll never thirst again. And I said, a lot of you are drinking to numb the pain and the grief of your soul, but Jesus doesn't numb it. He cleanses, he washes, he renews, and he makes you born again.
Wow.
And I did an altar call in the bar.
There
was men and women lifting their hands and giving their lives to Jesus. And we baptized them and everything. This is 2 years ago. Then this last August, we went back to Baltimore, and I'm in the church, and we're getting the church mobilized to going out into the streets. And this lady comes over to me, and she says to me, "I was in the bar last year."
Oh no, praise God.
"I was in the bar last year when you preached." She said, "I was one of the ones that lifted my hand and gave my heart to Jesus."
Praise
She's like,
God.
"My son now is baptized. I've been baptized."
Thank
Without going
Jesus.
Into too much detail about her occupation, she wasn't living a good life.
Right.
Now she's got a job. God's doing something amazing in and through her life. For 1 year later, she's still serving the Lord from that experience. And I really know from the Lord that we're going to see such an awakening in our urban communities, in our impoverished communities, like we've never seen before.
That's so powerful. So you're looking at, you know, a place where riots have taken place.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. But you're also looking at an Irish bar that the Irish people have left, and that African Americans and Hispanics are now in this particular region in that bar.
Yeah.
Then God says an Irish man and to preach in this Irish bar the gospel.
Yeah.
The man turns the music down, and you preach, and God shows up.
Yes.
And people get saved.
Yeah.
In the bar.
In the bar. Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
goodness! I love that.
Yeah.
Something like that's happening in New Orleans right now.
I
have to know more about it, but we're seeing that. Leo DeJesus, a friend of ours, is there, and Sandy. You know, I've asked them about it, but they're literally giving them space because New Orleans has all the Bourbon Street bars and all that.
Wow.
Where they're actually allowing them to have church, or they're meeting God like that, like you're talking about, in New Orleans, in a bar, and God showing up, and people are getting saved, and things are right there, Bourbon Street, in the heart of French Quarter in New Orleans.
Well, the amazing thing about it is that when Jesus welcomes sinners like that, or sinners like us, and he takes us as we are, just as we are.
Yeah.
But then he says to us, "Go and sin no more."
Correct.
But the religion would say, "Go and sin no more," and leave us as orphans to try to do this thing on our own. But we have not been left as orphans. When Jesus says, "Go and sin no more," he gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to be a difference and to make a difference. That's why the gospel is so powerful. You know, we've got great on-ramps. Our government, our politics have given great on-ramps for people to get out of poverty.
Right.
Great on-ramps for people to get free education.
Mm-hmm.
Great on-ramps to get free food and health care. But the problem is, if the people don't desire to be better people, they're not going to take advantage of all of these great benefits and great opportunities for them to become the best they can be in life. Mm-hmm. So when we go out and preach the gospel, what the gospel does is it doesn't just clothe someone or educate someone or give them like an outside shell that makes them look better.
Right.
Jesus comes on the inside, changing the inside, making them want to be better. And now we've got all these amazing on-ramps for them to be better people.
Right.
So it's easy for them to get better. It's easy for them to get out of poverty. It's easy for them to... But what the issue is that they must be born again. And that's what Jesus said. You must be born again. You can give out free stuff and give out free things, but what we really need to be giving out is Jesus Christ. Yeah. And a lot of our outreaches today don't have gospel preaching at them. A lot of our outreaches today are an opportunity to give out a turkey or a free meal. What we're doing is more social justice versus God's justice.
And we're
enabling poverty. Yeah. We're enabling sin. We're enabling those people to be dependent on us rather than saying to them, here's what got us to where we're at.
Right.
It wasn't education only. It wasn't a free handout. Jesus doesn't give out handouts. He gives a hand up to everyone to be everything that God has called them
awesome.
To be.
Awesome, so true. And somebody with a religious mindset don't understand is that, you know, when they're looking at the particular prostitute who was forgiven much and she was washing Jesus' feet and the religious folks are judging her, he said, listen, he that loves much is forgiven much.
Amen.
And that it's that understanding of God's love for you that says, I don't want to be in this bar anymore.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm not going to earn something, but I just want to be. I want to know more about him. I want to get in the Word. I want to hang out with other people that know him. It's Christ in me.
Yes.
Draws me to Christ in you, and we come together. He reigns in our midst. We're two or three are gathered together. And so a lot of people are like, well, how could that happen? Well, you can reach anybody anywhere. But once God's inside of them, once they've been forgiven much, like I've been forgiven much. I don't know about you.
I have been forgiven much.
And so that love was. Had her willing to lay at the feet of Jesus in the presence of all these Pharisees and Sadducees, and she was just locked in on him, and pouring alabaster box on him and wiping his feet with her hair and tears, and she didn't care about anybody else.
Yeah.
She was locked in on Jesus because he had forgiven her.
That's right.
Especially in that day and age, and coming from the profession, and probably some of these guys probably actually knew her personally from buying her experience or whatever before she knew God as a prostitute. But the thing about it is that when you really meet him, when you know Jesus, you don't need religion to tell you what to do.
Yeah, a lot of evangelism today is built off of debate, argument. So we educate the church in how to debate and how to argue.
Right.
But I've yet to find someone that has been saved off an argument.
Right.
If you can argue someone into salvation, that same person can be argued out of that salvation. Because the gospel's not just an argument, it is the power of God unto salvation.
Right.
And you can't separate the gospel from the power.
Right.
It's a powerful message. We don't have an intellectual or mental assent or Gnostic teaching that just accumulates head knowledge. We've got real, tangible, active
power. Well, Paul writes, it frustrates the people who move in their intellect because you have, you know, somebody like David Wilkerson, a country man who just goes and begins to preach the gospel, God moves. I mean, our lives, you know, what we're doing, it's just, you know, it's God with us that makes the difference.
Yeah.
The hope of glory. You know, and
when you ask people like Nikki Cruz, how did you get saved? What sermon got you saved? You know, when you ask men that have been saved out of radical, radical lifestyles, what was the message that got to you? Most of them will say, I really don't remember the whole sermon, but I know one thing that kind of spoke to me is that Jesus loves me. He receives me as I am, and he accepts me, and he loves me enough to not leave me the way I am when I come to him, and he gives me power to be a new person.
Yeah.
And anyone can preach this.
Right.
See, we don't want to give off evangelism as you have to have a PhD in apologetics to evangelize.
Right.
We want kids to be, my daughter who's 8 years old, actually was evangelizing in her elementary school in Oriole Beach here in Gulf Breeze. And she was sharing with one of the kids about Jesus. And the whole family are not Christian. They're from India. Mm. And she said, how can we know more about Jesus? And my daughter said, come to church Sunday and you'll learn more about Jesus. Because she didn't know how to really articulate the gospel. And so that Sunday we're at church and my daughter says, my friend from school is here.
Wow.
Not only is her friend from school who is 6 years old or 7 years old at the church, that seven-year-old brought her mom, her dad, her brothers, her sisters, the whole family are at church.
Whoa.
Just off of a child saying, no, Jesus is real, Jesus is true, Jesus has power.
Right.
Anyone can evangelize wherever they're at, and you don't have to have a PhD in apologetics to do it. Wow. You just allow the Holy Spirit to use you. Wow. Just say, I'm open. Have
it
your way in
me. It
takes
the pressure off of you.
It takes the pressure.
But you have to follow the leading of those who are led by the Spirit of God or sons of God. So it's actually, but he's leading. He says, don't worry about what to say. Yeah. He'll tell you what to say when you need to say it. Yeah. And if he didn't give anything, there was nothing necessary to say right there.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say this. When we get back from this break, we're going to hear firsthand how Adam was ministering with a gang atmosphere, with gangs in the streets, and somebody pulled a gun and put it right at his head. Join us after the break. We'll tell you about it.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.